This morning on Wake Up With Hope, Jesus 101 will be with us to share a morning devotional, and we'll have a dedicated prayer session.
And an encouraging segment on how to break free from addictions. Join us. Good morning, friends, and thank you for waking up with hope. You know, we're excited to be here this morning and waking up with you on this fresh summertime morning.
Friends, did you know that today is Color TV Day? These days, watching color television is something most of us are just used to and take for granted. But if we were to go back several years, you'd be watching us in black and white.
That's right. That's right. Even since Elijah and Mariah have been born, they've never known black and white TV.
You haven't known it, and neither have I.
True. That's true. You know, in the middle of the 20th century, color TV became a thing, a standard in the United States. And aren't things just better to watch with color?
Well, now that we have color TV, black and white TV may seem quite dull. But, friends, that's how life is without Jesus. Once you experience what it's like living with Him, life without Him is dull.
And there's some of those old sitcoms that were black and white, but then they change them to color, and it just adds a totally new dynamic to it. You know what I'm talking
about? That's true.
You know, and as we truly walk with Christ, we experience the real beauty of life. And we want to encourage you to take that step today. Now, we want to share more of Him today with you. So let's begin by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history in 1993, Kim Campbell made history in Ottawa as she took the oath of office, becoming Canada's 19th Prime Minister and the first woman to assume this esteemed position. Hailing from Port Alberni, British Columbia, born in 1947, Campbell's journey into politics began after studying law and political science. Her political career took flight in the 1980s when she was elected as a conservative to the British Columbia legislature in 1986. Shortly after, she earned a significant appointment as Minister of Indian Affairs under Prime Minister Brian Mulroney.
And just as Kim Campbell fearlessly stepped into uncharted territory, God often calls us to be courageous and embark on new paths in life with faith and determination as we look to Him for faith, guidance, and strength. And you know, like Kim, who remained steadfast in her convictions, let's anchor ourselves in the principles of love, justice, and service. Be pioneers of hope, spreading God's light in a world hungry for change. So friends, today, take hold of God's hand as you journey forward, spreading His love and hope and trusting in His guidance and grace every step of the way.
Amen. Well, this morning, friend, are you struggling with addictions or bad habits? Maybe you know someone who is. What is an addiction, and how can someone break free from one? Join us on today's episode of The Incredible Journey as we discover the answer to these important questions and bring you hope.
Addictions. We don't like to think of ourselves as addicts, but we're all vulnerable to addictions, and many of us struggle with them every day. The list of significant and common addictions may surprise us. To help us find out more about addictions, we're going to chat to a nutritional neuroscientist, Dr. Delia McCabe. Welcome, Delia. Let's get straight to it. What are addictions?
Any behavior or activity that undermines our physical or mental well-being can be termed an addiction. So anything that we're doing that doesn't support our well-being, so, you know, let's take coffee for example. It's a very common addiction, even though most people just think it's a normal part of life. But why are people drinking it? Because they don't have enough energy and they need the focus and concentration that caffeine gives them, the fake feeling of having. So that's a normal kind of addiction that's really accepted. But then we have serious addictions that we seem to think carry more weight, like gambling, pornography, and unfortunately things like even heroin and marijuana addiction. Those are addictions that all hijack the pleasure transmitter, dopamine, which is also the anticipation neurotransmitter, and make us feel elevated feelings that we wouldn't normally feel under normal circumstances. So that's basically what addictions are.
So Delia, how do these addictions begin?
Look, some people are just curious. They want to know how something feels, so they try it, and then they get addicted without realizing that was the end point. Some people have a lot of peer pressure, especially young children who don't fit in. They want to make sure that their friends like them, and of course we are creatures of connection. Then of course we have people that have low self-esteem. They gravitate to something to make them feel better. And you know, when families and communities break down, people often gravitate to external sources of pleasure. So there are a number of reasons why this happens. And also, we have a society where people model other people's behavior. So just for example, smoking and alcohol and even gambling and pornography, which is now accepted as being something that all young men engage in. These are all activities that once people get engaged in or they start with them, can take a terrible hold on them.
Yes, you mentioned they take a hold on them, and they really can affect people's lives, can't they?
Gary, the challenge is they really hijack the part of the brain that responds to pleasure. And we most know that, you know, dopamine. But the problem that most people don't understand, that dopamine is not just a pleasure neurotransmitter, it's also an anticipation neurotransmitter. So when people are anticipating the pleasure of whatever they're addicted to, dopamine is also released. So it's like a double whammy of dopamine. And people fall into that trap very quickly because of this very, very potent system in the brain that pushes us to do things that give us pleasure.
What are some of the addictions right under our noses that are affecting our children?
Very, very soberingly, technology. When you see a young person completely immersed in a screen, a smartphone, or a tablet, you know that that brain is being shaped because the brain is very, very plastic. And children have windows of development. You can't rewind these windows. Certain times of a child's life, the brain is focused on certain parts of that brain's development. And if the child isn't being allowed to do what it naturally needs to do during those phases and is instead looking at technology, those parts of the brain don't become developed. And I see this all over, and it really makes me feel very, very sober about the future of those children's brains. Because you see, Gary, what's happening? Those brains are becoming acclimatized to a very, very quick hit of dopamine. And when they get involved in the normal world, just playing naturally, maybe climbing a tree or watching a beautiful sunset or playing with their pet, they do not get the same release of dopamine. So what happens? They crave that release because of the pleasure and anticipation that dopamine comes with. So we are busy rearing a generation of people that are not able to interact with their environment, with their world, with their peers, with their family, because they have to be getting this dopamine hit. So for me, this is one of the most sobering and terrible trajectories I see with children and their developing brain. We cannot rewind this. This is the biggest experiment that we have ever done as a species.
Considering social media and screens, should we be concerned about this?
Gary, it's a huge, huge challenge. It keeps me up at night. When I think about the fact that all of these people, these young people, their brains are being shaped by what they're being exposed to. You know, their ideas and their opinions are being shaped by all this information. These are our future leaders. These are people that are not going to be able to think critically because of all this information that they're continuously being bombarded with. Mm. What does the future look like? What is our society going to turn into with people who cannot think apart from looking at a screen and getting that dopamine hit? I find it very sobering. As a parent, my children are nearly grown. You know, I look at these young children and I know that their brains are being shaped. We are in deep, deep trouble.
So Delia, what can we do about this?
Gary, from when children are very, very young, we've got to limit them. Limit the exposure that they have to all this technology. Mm-hmm. We can keep the screens out of their room. When we sit down for a meal, we can make sure that you know, no smartphones are on. They have to be off.
Yes.
If someone has their smartphone on, fine them. Make them feel the pain of using their smartphone when they shouldn't. We need to increase connection as a family, and we need to make sure that as a community, we're getting young people out and about a whole lot more. You know, we have to keep in mind that our brains are plastic. Whatever we're exposing them to, they're going to be sucking up. These young brains need to be told this isn't good for them and limit the time. I spoke to a researcher many years ago who was hired by gaming companies to prove that computer games were good for children's brains. And he walked away from the work when he discovered that it was actually damaging their brains. And he stopped his children from playing computer games, and they were limited to 1 hour a week. So that's a researcher in the field. So that's what we need to do. Just focus on limiting, discussing, and making sure that we keep screens out of our children's rooms.
Delia, you've given us lots of important things to think about today. Thank you so very much.
It's now time for prayer. But have you ever wondered, why prayer?
The truth is that prayer is what sustains us as Christians. Just as we need oxygen to survive physically, we need prayer to survive spiritually.
That's correct. It's important to pray and maintain a constant communication and communion with God. And the Let's Pray team is here today to help us do just that. Please join us wherever you are.
Hello again. Today, I'm so glad that we get a chance to pray together. There's something special about praying as a community. We can lift one another up. We can agree on behalf of the other. And sometimes we can even have faith for someone else when they're not feeling so strong. So it's really a special time in community and in Christ. So today we're going to be talking briefly just about Romans 12:2. It says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for a chance to learn, to do different, to be transformed in our insides, Heavenly Father, all the way down to the root level of things, to be transformed in our minds so that we are not conforming to this world, to be transformed, to be sanctified, Lord. Your word says in John, I think it's 14:14. Heavenly Father, you know where it is. It says that sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. So to me, that is the transforming of our mind. By beholding, we become changed. Being in community with you, Heavenly Father, beholding you, speaking with you, allowing the word to wash our minds, Heavenly Father. My brain needs washing. So, Father, we choose by participating with you, by chewing on, absorbing, meditating on, praying your word, Jesus, taking in your goodness, tasting and seeing that the Lord is good, doing all of these wonderful practices, Heavenly Father, to build relationship with you so that we can be transformed in our minds. But even more, Lord, so that we might be able to test and approve what your good, pleasing, and perfect will is. Father, so often we pray for direction for others. Lord, there are people in this community right now who are wondering what's next, how to do the next. Did I miss the last thing? Where there's direction and guidance and disillusionment that tries to creep into our lives, Heavenly Father, because we're not sure. How do we know your will? Well, we allow you to transform our minds, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Jesus. And then we're able, Lord, here's the answer, to test and approve what your will is, your good, pleasing, and perfect will. Jesus, I confess that your word says that we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. We've been given the mind of Christ. I am complete in Christ. Jesus, that is what your word says. So in every area where I feel that I am lacking, every area where your Holy Spirit is exposing the need for surrender and growth and healing, Heavenly Father, it's not in condemnation. It's to reveal the truth of who we are, which is complete in you. So Lord, I just pray for encouragement for this community today. For anyone who is desiring for direction, Lord, that they would eat of your word, that they would spend time in prayer with you, Lord, that they would then step out in faith, Father, that we would not be conformed to this world. And Lord, I pray that you would reveal to us any way that we may have slipped into some of that lately. Not because you're mad at us, but because you have more for us. Because you call us higher. Because you seek our good. So thank you, Jesus, for all of the ways that you are loving us and making us more and more like you. We confess our need of you, Jesus. Thank you for your grace and your humility and your mercy in our lives, Jesus. Lord, help us to be different than the world around us because of you. Not different for difference sake, not peculiar for peculiarity's sake, but different in the way that we love because of your love for us. Different in the way that we comfort because of your comfort for us, Lord. And I thank you that we do not have to be conformed to this world, that we can be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we can walk in your will, in your word, and in your way today, tomorrow, and each day. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. God bless you. I pray that you're encouraged as you go about your day.
We hope you're finding our program worthwhile this morning. Don't forget to share us with a friend and visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup for more.
Also, check out our YouTube channel and subscribe to keep up with each one of our episodes.
Friends, we are so excited for today's devotional thought from Jesus 101. It's coming up right after this short break. Stay with us. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope, friends. We're so happy you're here this morning.
It's now time for a devotional thought from Jesus 101.
Hello, everyone. We continue with our series, Fear Not. And today's topic is Fear Not, Powerful Armies. And you might not be fighting armies, but we fight obstacles that are powerful in our lives. And I want to start by telling you that perception, I learned that perception is the interpretation of reality. How we're going to interpret a particular situation that happens in our lives. And I learned that when you have a particular belief, you interpret different. The same situation that somebody else might interpret in a negative way, you might be able to interpret it in a positive way. Just because you have your perception glasses on. I don't know if you remember, I think it was in the 80s and 90s, these 3D pictures came along that you had to focus your eyes, and all of a sudden you saw a whole different reality emerge from the picture. I remember I used to be a youth leader at that time, and for my birthday, the youth of the church brought me this huge picture as a birthday present, and I couldn't see what they were seeing. So I stayed there for hours crossing my eyes and doing all kinds of things until I was able to see it. And it was so beautiful. It was completely different what emerged from the picture than what I could see at first sight. Well, you know, we always have two sides of reality. The one that we see with our eyes and the one we see with our spiritual eyes. And that's usually called faith and believing. Today, we're going to study a story that makes this very clear. So please come with me to the second book of Kings, chapter 6. There is a prophet in the land. His name is Elisha. And there is an enemy of Israel, the king of Aram, that is trying to fight Israel all the time. And when he makes plans to come and fight, the prophet tells the king of Israel, the king of Aram is coming, and so he's always ready. So one day the king of Aram said, what's going on? How come the king of Israel always knows when we're coming? And I'm going to read on 2 Kings 6 verse 11. The heart of the king of Aram was enraged over this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, will you tell me which of us is for the king of Israel? Is there a mole in our group? How come the king of Israel always knows when we're coming? And one of his servants, verse 12, said, no, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. This prophet is like a fly on your wall. No matter what you say, what you do, he knows. And so he lets the king of Israel know. That's why he's always ready. So the king of Aram said, verse 13, go and see where he is, this prophet, and that I may send and take him. And it was said to him, behold, he's in Dothan. And he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the city. I think this is such a paradox, because if this was a prophet that always knew what was coming, how could the king of Aram said, oh, okay, I know, I'm going to get him and he's not going to know I'm coming. What a paradox, right? A prophetic paradox. And when they were sleeping, the whole army surrounded the city where the prophet was. So in the morning, when they woke up, the attendant of the prophet looks out the window and he sees this army that is completely surrounding them, right? And verse 15, this is 2 Kings 6:15. Now, when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was circling the city. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? What shall we do? We are surrounded by powerful armies. What are we going to do? Maybe today you are feeling that way, that your eyes see obstacles, enemies, armies against you. And you're saying, we can't do anything about this. What are we going to do? And this is where the prophet's words might be exactly what you need today. The prophet says to his servant, verse 16, he answered, do not fear. That's our series. Fear not. Do not fear. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And I imagine the attendant saying, okay, 1, 2, 1, 2. It's just 2, 1, and 1, 2. You know, there's no more than two. It's just us. And the prophet said, no, there's a lot more with us than with them. And then he prayed. The prophet prayed. Verse 17, Elisha prayed and said, oh Lord, I pray, open his eyes. This is his other eyes, his eyes of faith, that he could see the spiritual realities. He's asking for a bridge to the spiritual reality so that he could actually see it. And Elisha prayed and said, oh Lord, verse 17, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. I like to visualize this because, you know, many times we feel surrounded by circumstances, and they felt surrounded by circumstances. I mean, the attendant did. Elisha already knew this. He didn't even need to see it. He believed it so much that he didn't even need to see it. But imagine this. They're surrounded, completely surrounded. It's just two of them, the prophet and the attendant, and the attendant and the prophet and the prophet and the attendant. That's it. They're surrounded by an army. And the prophet says, no, the ones that are with us are more than the ones that are with them. And then he prays that for a moment, his servant would be able to see how the Lord of hosts and all the angels were surrounding them and that they were a much more powerful army. So this looks very fearful, doesn't it? But when you put the second reality, oh, I love this, of all these angels around them, oh, now it looks completely different, doesn't it? Because now it's no longer this army that was there. It's all this other reality that is surrounding them that, of course, now it looks much better, doesn't it? Because the army of the Lord of hosts is around them. You know, after this prayer, Elisha will pray that the soldiers will be blinded, and they are, and he leads them to Samaria. And then the king of Israel says, what shall I do? Shall I kill them? Shall I kill them? And he said, no, don't kill them. This is from the Lord. So now you're going to do a great feast for them. This is verse 23. He prepared a great feast for these soldiers. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away and they went to their master. You know, this truth has been with me for a long time. Sometimes I feel surrounded by obstacles and powerful armies. And I remember a verse from my childhood, Psalm 34:7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and defends them. We always have this second reality around us. Those who are with us are much more than those, many more than those that are against us. And see, this is important to remember because salvation always also works like this. Not only our daily battles, the things that we face, but salvation works this way. You need to look at it through the eyes of faith and be sure of the things you don't see, but that God has told you. Salvation says, he who has the Son has life. So be sure of this. Put your glasses on. Be sure of your salvation. Remember, faith, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, faith is the certainty of things we don't see. So you can be certain of them because there's this second reality that God offers us both for our salvation and our daily battles. Fear not, powerful armies.
Elizabeth, thank you so much for those encouraging words this morning.
Yes, and friends, thank you for spending time with us this morning. And if you'd like to learn more about us or share us with a friend, visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget to wake up with us tomorrow morning, bright and early. We will have a wonderful musical composition, and John Bradshaw will have the devotional thought for us. Plus, we'll take you on an artistic journey through an interesting story, and we'll have another recipe from Ready, Set, Cook, and so much more.
Oh, it's going to be good. And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and you would like to learn more about God's amazing purpose for your life, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Again, friends, that's hope.study to claim your free Bible study guides. Check out the website. We're sure you'll find something just for you.
And before we go, we want to share with you a Bible promise. And it says, "For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness." That's found in Psalm chapter 33, verse 4.
Beautiful friend. What a beautiful thought to lean on today. God's word is full of hope, and everything he does is in faithfulness. Mm. Today, claim that promise. Spend some time thinking about your life and look for the ways that you have seen God work. When you come to places that you aren't sure of the good, take courage. And take hope, knowing that everything God is doing is in faithfulness and for your best ultimate good.
That's right. You know, we've had a wonderful time on today's program, and we hope you truly feel God's love and care for you throughout this whole day. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, yes, we have had an encounter with you today. Thank you for the joy, the peace, and the hope that fills our hearts right now. Lord, we want to claim this promise and hold it close to our hearts. Thank you for the rich content that we received. Lord, may it guide our path today, and not just today, but for the days to come and weeks and months and every day of our life as we look up to you. In Jesus' name, amen.